don't like sports cars.
I don't like sports cars?
Just listen to me. You don't like sports cars. Now, you do like sports cars. So, I say you don't like sports cars. Because sports cars are dangerous, and sports cars are this, and sports cars are that. And you say, I like sports cars. I like sports cars. Sports cars are what I like. You don't hear me say they're dangerous. You don't hear me say you don't like it. You don't compete with me, and you don't say, oh, no, no, I like sports cars. Oh, no, no, they're safe. No, you don't say that. Because, you are not a woman. No. You don't have to prove to me that you're a woman. You know it yourself, don't you? Are you a woman? You're a woman, yes. You are. Hey, you're a woman. Now, can I, by saying anything, make you not a woman? No. It's only if you believe it. You are not a woman because you don't know how to curly have your one leg over the other and keep your skirt down to the right length and stuff like that. Now, you say, hey, that's not my school. My school is a nudist camp. You say, hey, that's not my school. My mother was a little Irish lady, you know, and we did things in this way in Ireland, you know, and so forth. But you see, this is the case. Don't ever let anybody or anything or the world tell you anything about yourself that you do not want to experience. You will not accept, you don't even hear it. Now, why little children are such exquisite not-hearers, they do not hear. They're out playing in the yard, come on in now, it's time for supper. Come on in now, it's time, 10 minutes later, come on in, time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes later, come on in, time for supper. And then 30 minutes later, sorry, supper's over. No supper for you. But no, I'm hungry now. You got to learn to hear. You got to learn to listen. But no. Did they hear that they were supposed to come in? Sure they did. But they didn't choose to hear it. They didn't choose to act upon it. Now, we do that often. If somebody walks down the street, or if you were walking down the street, and there's some young men around you, and they look at you and they say, wow, what a babe, you know, what a hunky woman, wow. And you completely ignore it. You completely ignore it because you know you are, and you know that they're not your thing, and you just go about your business as though they don't even exist. And they don't exist. Did any of you see The Last Holiday? If you haven't seen The Last Holiday, you'll see all of these things illustrated in it very beautifully. This black woman's walking down the street in a very ghetto-y type neighborhood, and the kids are whistling at her in the car and stuff like that, and she's just walking along as though she's walking through Grand Central Park or something here, you know, and untouched, unaware that anything's going on in her world that should touch her. A gentle, truly beautiful woman. It is there. But now, my point is, you see, we have these illustrations to us so often. You have these illustrations of people who have done this. People who have chosen the pattern for their life and lived up to the pattern for their life. Now, why did Warren Buffett give $30 billion, or $35 billion, to Bill Gates? Because Warren Buffett did not know how to spend it. He could not be philanthropic. He could not give it out to people. Well, he gave it out, but he always had a lot of strings. Bill Gates gave it out. But Bill Gates was in the theme of giving, and the least strings on it, the better. Bill Gates wasn't worried if somebody was going to misuse the money. He gave it to them because he believed in their project. Now, when he was in college, he had a chance to work on his dream. And so, even though he was near graduating, he went to work on his dream. And he did it. Now, Warren Buffett, he went to college, he got his degrees, because that was expected of him. He went to life and did everything he should because that was expected of him. And he made lots of money. Because he loved playing with the money. He liked playing with figures and how to put them together and how to make it grow. You see, most of you and I are not any good at that. Because we like to take money and spend it. And Warren Buffett likes to take money and make it grow. And keep it. And he and his wife both love to go to thrift shops to go shopping. They have the infinite abundance of the universe at their fingertips, $35 billion, you know what I mean? And they go to a thrift shop. I mean, my goodness, he earned it, he made it, rather than spend it on something that he wants. Well, maybe making it grow is more important to him than spending it. So, anybody got a suggestion? What would you do if you were Warren Buffett, second richest man in the world, and you wanted to have your wife at the beauty shop as often as she'd like to be there? What would you do? Just be wild. Tell me.
Buy a
new
shop.
No. I mean, yes, but no.
Give her a credit card letter and have an unlimited spending.
Huh?
Give her a credit card letter, have an unlimited
spending. No. She doesn't even need a credit card. She walks in and says, I'm Mrs. Buffett, and they say, what would he do? He would build a beauty shop in their home and have a beautician come in on whatever days or every day, and he'd also have a barber come in and do his hair once a week or whenever often he wanted to. Yeah? Now, if he were Howard Hughes type, what would he do? You know anything about Howard Hughes?
A pair of scissors.
Huh? Excuse me, I didn't hear.
He'd buy a pair of scissors and do it himself.
No, Howard Hughes was not a cheapie. Howard Hughes, if he were a Howard Hughes, he would put his hospital in his home. Well, Howard Hughes had a few mental hang-ups. But, you see, when you believe the universe is unlimited, when you believe, who can tell Pamela about the stem cells? What are they?
Genie cells.
The stem cells are genie cells. Remember in The Secret? Jeannie said,
your wish is my command.
Your stem cells say,
your wish is my command.
10,000 of them every day, new, they come to you. Your wish is my command. 10,000 want to do. Wow! Huh? Isn't that lovely? No. You have a staff and you have... No, the thing is, here, what are you going to say to your stem cells? Do you think that you have to say to each stem cell what to do? Or do you say, stem cells, I'm whole and perfect. Stem cells, I am independently wealthy. Stem cells, I am living in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Stem cells, I am glorious. Stem cells, today I'm taking the day off. And the stem cells say, well, what do you want us to do? Follow the routine. Right? Now, here, this is part of what the game you're talking about. We have teachers in the school, and the teachers all have classes, and two fifth grade teachers, and they're both good teachers, they know their subject. One teacher walks in the classroom and the students are all sitting there saying, good morning, teacher. And attentive, alert, interested. The other teacher walks in the room, the kids are throwing things and shouting and running around and out of place and so, and she says, okay, time for class again, everybody sit down. And then 10 minutes later, time, sit down, come on, kids, you know, cooperate. Now, try, does one teacher have the students be cooperative with her, and why does the other teacher have the students be not cooperative with her? One teacher puts the genie in her to work, loving teaching, loving the students, loving the subject, loving everything, and mostly loving herself. And she walks in, she could not conceive of a classroom that wasn't a joyous experience. She could not conceive of a classroom that wasn't filled with beautiful students who wanted to hear what she had to say. Because what she had to say was so exciting. And the other, she couldn't imagine who she was. She was so frightened of herself. She was so, oh, I hope I can get through this day, all right? I told you at one time, I'm sure, I had a teacher that I had in Marquette University when I was going to college there in Milwaukee. And this teacher was a history teacher. And history was one of my minors. And I loved history. I just loved history. So I went into his class. And his class, you know how some of these university auditoriums are, where they get row upon row upon row upon row of students seating up into the balcony, you know, up into, and that's where his classroom was. It's the only class, the only teacher I knew who would fill it. But he came in that class on the button, and everybody was sitting in their seat quietly. And he would say to him, okay, put your books, your pencil, your paper aside, and here we go. And he would take us on an adventure in that portion of history that he was teaching. We sat there spellbound. And we had other things on our minds, you know, college kids and all that other good stuff. But with him, we were spellbound. We could not wait to get to class, and we could not dream that the bell would ring. And when the bell rang, we had to leave. And reluctantly, we left. And when his final exam came, he said, all right, put all your things aside, put all your papers aside. Now take your sheet of paper, your test paper, put your name and so forth on the top. Now, I'm trusting each one of them. Write down the name of the author of the textbook. The author of the textbook. Now, really, if you had realized this is my course in history, taught by Professor So-and-so, written by So-and-so, well, you should do it. You should read the introductions to books and the prefaces and stuff like that. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And there were only about, 60 out of that entire room that knew the author. I did. I was fortunate. And he told all of us, we were excused, we got our paper in, we all turned our paper in, you know. And so he excused us. And the rest of them, he said, all right, now, pass out these sheets. And it was 100 questions that was their final exam. And they had to answer the points on the 100 questions. And you can imagine how definitive that was. But I never forget that, because really, if we know who we are, and we like who we are, and we engage ourselves totally in life, totally in everything we do, that is so exciting. And it's so wonderful. We'll be like the teacher who has a class full of eager students. Students who just don't want to leave. I've been very blessed, many times over at Pam's house in San Diego. I'd walk into her living room to give a class, and I'd squat down on a knee there to talk to somebody, and then it'd be time to begin the class. And so I'd stay like that for an hour and a half, talking and sharing, and then we wanted to get up. And then finally Pam says, okay, it's time for us to have a pause now. And so I'd stand up, my knees were not stiff or anything, and I didn't realize that I'd been squatting like that for over an hour and a half. And you see, when you're engaged, embraced with your thinking, your ideas, your talk, your attitude, your human cells, your stem cells, are all feeding you and feeding you and feeding you and feeding you. And it was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. Yeah, I could say it to Pam and Richard, the old gang was there. and there was a grand group. And they had heard me many times before, but they never tired of hearing about these concepts, about these ideas, and never tired of hearing about the fact that they're God, and they're the creator of their world, and they're the creator of everything in it. And you, each one, have a great privilege. Because right now, you're going to start thinking about what you're going to do. What is it that is your... The genie is standing here saying, what do you want? What are you going to sell to them? No, I want all the riches in the world. No, what are you going to say to them? You're not going to say that. You're not going to be so intelligent. Not that that's intelligent. But you're going to say something. Well, if my mother could only be whole and perfect, you know. If my family could only, if my husband could if like his job better and get along better with his co-workers and stuff like that. That's all a bunch of malarkey, you know. What is it that is your real dream? What is it that is your real choice for yourself? If you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, ideal spirit, ideal mind, ideal body, then you are returning to your original purity and integrity. You are expressing the genius that you are. You are living it now. Therefore, you would be ageless. How would you like to live in your perfect body all the days of your life and live as long as you choose to live? And if at some point you choose to go to your next dimension, you go to your next dimension with your perfect body, would you like to do that? Would you like to go to the next dimension with your perfect body? Or would you like to stay here with your perfect body? Would you like to live on this plane with your perfect body? What's that movie, Tate? This Tate family. And they drank this water that made them stay the same age as they were when they drank the water forever.
Okay.
Huh? No. Tate. It's a good movie. It's a current movie. And the family has a problem. Instead of living in that life, they live in the modus that they had been living all their life. They didn't move on as they would normally do in life, which they could have done. The boy did that. He was 17, and he had a motorcycle, and of course they had horses and buggies when he was first starting out on this thing, and things like that, but they were afraid that their family would die if their family didn't drink this one or two. They were afraid that they would lose their relatives and their friends, and that if any of them else, they lived with them, that they would have to see them age and see them losing them, you know. Well, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You're not drinking this elixir that's just for you, that it's keep you eternally young. You are drinking the elixir that makes you the supreme director of your life, your affairs, and your world. You are the director of your genie as to what you want your genie to do. What do you want the genie in you to do through you, for you, with you, as you. What do you want the genie and you to do? And be very careful. It doesn't really matter, because you probably do this a dozen times, but the sooner you do it right, the better, you know. Be very careful that you don't limit yourself by saying, I want my mother home first. Yeah. First, you do yourself. I know your mother's dead, but first you do it yourself. But your mother could be home first, you know? She could be back, because there's no death. Life is mortal. Life's eternal. You bring back those angels, you know? You bring back those beings, those entities, whatever you want. Your choice. Now, what do you want? What kind of... I'll give you one answer that will rattle your cage a little bit, but this answer is this. I want to know that I am God. If you know that you are God, then you cannot act any other way than what you believe God is. Then the next point would be, how do you think God is? Do you think he's an Old Testament God? A New Testament God? Do you think God has anything to do with the Testaments at all? Do you think God cares about the Bible? Do you think God cares about the angels, about life or death? Do you think God cares about any of you? You see, I don't love you. I love who you are. You are divine. That's what I love. I don't love this woman of 110 pounds and, you know, 6'2" and stuff like that. And I was a blue. I don't love that person. I love the divine in you. And the divine in you is always perfect, is always ideal, is always wonderful. And you see, if you learn this technique of unconditionally loving, which we think we do, but we don't, if you learn that technique of unconditionally loving, you would look at every single person and you would love the divine in them. Because you don't love the outer appearance of a person. Today I have a red shirt on, tomorrow I have a white shirt on, next day I have no shirt on. You know, you don't love that about me. You love the divine in me. Just as I love the divine in you. When, of course I use Bible story, but when Jesus went to see Lazarus, he waited until Lazarus was stinking in the tomb. That way, it'd be pretty hard to believe. And then he said to Lazarus' sisters, he only sleeps. That's a terrible sleep, you know. He only sleeps. Can you believe he sleeps? I can. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And without a smell, without a rot about him, 3 days he wouldn't have a rot, without a rot about his clothing, I mean, he came out whole and perfect. Now, is he the first one to do that? No. This happens every day. You go into hospitals, people die, and they come back. Oh, they come back, but they're under medical control, they was under medical control, I was in the hospital, and that was where they did. No. That merely was where they happened to record it, and you believe the record they had. His heart stopped. His breathing stopped. He was not doing any of this stuff for half an hour, a day. A day? Wow. Yes, you know. I was at the Menninger Foundation in Topeka, Kansas, the foundation of psychiatry down there. And we had one man who was being tested. And this man is Swami Rama. And he could stop his heart. And he could stop breathing, and he could do all these things at will. And he says, I'll do that for you, you know, while he's being tested. Oh, yeah, don't you read, I'll do these other things, but yeah, if you die, I'm going to throw international complications. And so, he was doing it, and then he stopped everything. Oh, stopped. And they called every, you know, alert, getting back. And in the minutes that it took to call the alert, then he came back and, perfect. You can do it. You see, those are things that are just physiological. Just things in the body. And when you look beyond, when you look beyond, now, you think you're so smart. You think you're so intelligent. I can see an aura. I can see an aura. Well, bully for you. Do you know what that aura is? That's your energy field. You know what that aura is? That's the divine in you shining forth. The divine in you shining forth. And you can see the divine in them. Well, see it in everybody. But start... You can have this as an example for yourself you want to work on. Start with yourself every morning, privately go in the bathroom, or wherever you can be private, and look into your eyes. And then start circling your eyes. And then start circling your head in the mirror. And it can be a light room or a dark room, it doesn't make any difference, but you will begin to see that energy aura, and it'll become brighter and brighter and brighter, and it'll become brighter than you may choose to see. Because your energy aura, everyone's energy aura, extends out at least 3 to 5 miles. You know, everyone's energy aura. And the reason you think it doesn't is because you think it doesn't. And so when you think it doesn't, you don't have the ability to see it. Now, was Swami Rama dead? Yes. His body was physically dead. Was he dead? No, hardly. He was very much alive. He was on another dimension, an eternal dimension, but then he brought his body, he came back to his body. We can do that. We can do it, yes.
What do you mean by circling
the dead?
I'm sorry? Can you explain what you mean by circling?
Oh, circling. Yes, you're looking in the mirror. And you see your eyes. Look in your eyes. Look into my eyes. You know. Look into your eyes. And let your vision, let your attention, go around your eyebrows and your face and sort of, and then around your head. I guess it's better to say that. Around your head. I didn't want you to get mixed up in that. I wanted you to stay with the energy aura. And if the energy aura is manifesting, basically, for your awareness out of your eyes or in your eyes. And so, then as you let this happen, then you begin to see how perfect you are. And you begin to realize the divine in you. Yeah. Can anyone tell me what the divine in you is?
God.
Can anyone tell me what the divine in you is?
God energy.
You don't need the word God. God merely means absolute allness, isness, okay? It means the everything, right?
Yeah.
God the everything. But the minute you say God, right away, you got Jesus on the cross sort of thing, you know. And that's so silly. And that's so wasteful. Because he didn't stay there very long. He just put on a show. And he was a showman. Yeah, he was a good showman. Okay, now, you see this energy, God, energy, divine energy, you, energy, the more you're able to tune in to your energy, and I don't mean you should be staring in the mirror all the time, the more you can tune into your energy, the more you will be master of your energy. Now, your energy doesn't need to have you be master of it, okay? Your energy, if you will, needs you to be an open channel of that energy so that it can act in and through our experiences. Now, if you say, Pam, you're whole and perfect. You're fantastic. Pam, you're 26. Now, if Pam says to me, I'm 25, really, and you should call me 26. Yeah, right. He said, stop it. Play the game with me. I'm giving her my energy. You're 26. You're fantastic. You're glorious. You're beautiful. You're fabulous. When you're playing the energy game with yourself, do it. Now, I've given you the energy massage, and I've told you about the energy massage, and it's timely to mention it right here. The energy massage is when you will take your hand and just go over your skin without touching it. If you touch it, it's okay, but don't, because you want to feel the real energy. Go over it and put your hand on top of your head, or put your hand over this, and what sort of energy do you feel? I did this in a number of seminars, and people had felt cold and they felt warm. They said, what am I doing? It's okay, okay. I need to feel something. You're learning to feel. You're learning to feel. And pretty soon, you will no longer feel cold or warm. You'll be one. But if you take your hand over your naked body and go over the whole body and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. How often have you told your body that you loved it? How often have you told yourself that you loved it? How often have you told these genie cells, go to work? Say, 10,000 new genie cells, okay, here I am. Massage my body. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me how privileged I am. Tell me, I like me, I like you, 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 I like you. You'd be surprised. Probably not, but you'd be surprised. Your body would just glow. And if there's any illness in your body, it has to go. Because the glow won't allow it to stay. This works. This works. I've used this with people who were dying of cancer, dying of many other things, and they did it. They did it. And the healing was there. They did it. You see, Jesus never healed anyone. He said, it's done unto you according to your belief. He assisted them in their belief, but it's done unto you according to your belief. And to the centurion servant, to the centurion, he said, I will come. And he said, no, I will do as you ask, and my servant will follow what I say. And he said, nowhere in all of Israel have I seen anyone as powerful as you. Okay, now, what does the doctor do? If you've seen the movie Sick It, the doctor says, we give placebos. And the placebos are more powerful than the medicine that we give, oftentimes, because the medicine works on the body, the placebo works on the mind. Because the placebo has nothing to work on the body with, you know. It just works on the mind. And people who take placebos feel more strong results for what the medicine might have given them than what the medicine itself is able to engender in them. See, we are fantastic. We have within us this magic specialty that we can do anything we want with. And the specialty is, we have these 10,000 genie cells, these 10,000 stem cells waiting to go to work for whatever we want. Now, imagine yourself in a room with 10,000 little children. And the 10,000 little children are genies. And they're quietly standing there saying, hey boss, what do you want us to do? And you say, well, I tell you, go through this part of the woods here and pick up every piece of fallen wood and so forth and bring it back for our fireplace. Right over. And they go out and they pick up the pieces of wood and they bring them back. What next? Well, I want you to, hey, I know. Today's really your day off. You know, it's Sunday. Today's really your day off. I want you all to take this special project on. Okay? What is it? Say of yourself, and you're the genie cell, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Say that. And when you say that, as a genie, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. There is no room. There is no place. There is no existence of conflict. There's no sense of it. People who might have thought of it before, I forgot what I was thinking about, remember? You ever say something and forget what you're thinking about right in the middle while you're saying it? It's because it's not done. It doesn't have, it wasn't important. You say, oh, but it was important. Yeah, the important is you forget it. Just allow yourself that privilege. Because, again, I go to spiritual healing. Don't ever ask to be spiritually healed and remain a human being. Because if you are spiritually healed, you will not remember you ever were ill. Your mommy and daddy in hospitals and doctors and all that, you will not remember you ever were ill. And so therefore you can't say, see my scar? Look at that scar. See my this or that? There is none. You're spiritually healed. It never was. And that's the reality. There never was a war. There never was a conflict. There never was inharmony. Always there's only harmony. Always there's only truth. That's what these stem cells, that's what these genie cells are doing. They're not judging. They don't say war is bad and peace is good. They're just saying, you think peace is good, therefore peace is. You think war is bad? Well, some wars aren't as bad as other wars, and some are... Peace is good. We always think the positive words, always think the positive thoughts, because our genie cells are just eagerly waiting. All these 10,000 little children, genie cells, are just ready to go out and do whatever we ask them. Now, what did we ask them to do first? Anyone remember? What did we ask the genie cells to do first, the 10,000 kids? Huh?
Pick up wood.
Pick up wood. Okay, now, if me, the perfectionist, if I go out of that wood to see if the kids picked up all the wood, what would I find? Clean as a whistle, right? Not one twig, stick, piece of wood lying around there at all that could have been picked up. It was perfectly done. Not one piece is left. Because our genie cells do not need to be told twice what to do. They just do everything we tell them to do. And they do it right now. So when you go to bed at night, stupid, stupid, stupid. You tell yourself constantly the truth about yourself. You tell your genie cells constantly. Because the thing is, you don't just get a blanket of 10,000 new genie cells. They're continually flowing in new. So you have really an opportunity to work continuously all day long. So when you go to sleep at night, you say, I am going to dream some fantastic dreams tonight. I am going to, or whatever you want to dream. Or, I would like to visit the planet of unconditional love. Would you like to do that? The planet of unconditional love. I am going to go and visit my mommy. And so, then you will create your mommy there to be visited, whether she's alive or dead, doesn't matter. If she's alive, you'll visit her in Tucson. If she's dead, you'll visit her in Tucson. Yeah. But wherever you go, mommy's going to be there. She's here. She's here. She's the creation of your world. Now, we might throw another little sledgehammer in here. This is tough to believe, but it's true. All exists now, all exists here, all exists in the here and now. There never was, or was, or will be, all are now, right now. If I think of my mom, I think of her now, I think of her right here in Tucson, I think of her right here in this singles room, I think of her right here in this church. I was staring to the stars. Yeah, I think of her right here in this church. And what is she doing? She says, oh, that's not a church. It isn't? No. That's a learning center. And why are you calling it a learning center? That's what it is. Well, it's not a learning center. Because you never learn anything. It's a revealing center. Because what you're doing is revealing all that already is, and you're revealing it now. You're revealing everything, because nothing can be created nor destroyed, nothing can be new or old, everything is, all is in the now, everything is in the now, and so here we have this learning center in the now, which is a revealing center in the now, and it's great. And Richard said, boy, first you want to take the of off and make it lowercase, and then you want to go to a learning center and make it a revealing center, and hey, no. What we're doing here is realizing that I am number one. I am number one. Each of you are number one. You come to Pam and Richard, and you come to this organization, not because they are number one. You come because you are number one. And you come here as number one, being a light, being that divine aura that you are, that divine energy that you are, shining out everywhere, glowing everywhere, being everywhere, fantastic in every way. And as you are this, this place, with a snap of a finger, is whatever you want it to be. Now, you drive by some of these big churches in town, and you think, how nice they are. You drive by other places, and you think, how nice that is. Hey, now, this is a good thought. We have a drink of water. How many of you have seen Harry Potter? A few of you. How many of you have read Harry Potter? A few of you. In Harry Potter, it's working with the wizards. It's working in strange things. And Harry Potter and his friends were going to go to a fair. But they had to go to a place. And this place took them to the fair. This place was a gadget or a shoe or something that they touched. They all touched it together. And zonk! Down they came on this wonderful place. And in this wonderful place, yes, in this wonderful place, Richard gave Patricia his backpack. And Patricia said, all right, now open it. So Richard opened the backpack, and the backpack went like this. And up came a three-story house, gigantic, maybe 8,000 square foot three-story house. Not bad, huh? For a backpack. Completely finished. Running water, electricity, telephone, everything you have, done. Now, do you laugh? Do you laugh?
No, I enjoy it. But I'm not Patricia.
What's that?
I said, I'm not Patricia. I'm asking you
this
Patricia.
What you want to do is to mentally decide what you're going to put in that backpack. Do you want... This is a place I oftentimes take people. My goodness. It's okay. You're not wiggling in your seats. But, and this is the place I oftentimes take people. In the hills of California, Arizona, Nevada, that area, were some very beautiful people who lived for a long time. And Saint Germain was one of these people. And he's a real person. And he took people to Mount Shasta in various other places. And what he did with them, every person who was a spiritual light was allowed to enter in without any doors, although there were doors, without any doors, just walk right in and go into this inner temple, which exists. And this inner temple is quite large. And everyone had benches to sit on. And then they would look at the center light. There would be a center light. There would not be a fire. Because we don't equate fire with energy, even though fire is an energy. We are as much an energy as a fire. But energy, pure energy, energy which is undifferentiated in every possible way, it's genie-type energy, the stem cell-type energy, that is undifferentiated, it is not told what it is going to do. Its purpose has not been laid out for it. And so each one of those who are invited to be in this temple at this time are privileged to look at this ball of energy, and in looking at this ball of energy, to merge with this ball of energy and enjoy it, because it sort of washes away the dross that is around our golden selves, and just the purity of our golden self, if you will, comes forth. And we no longer call ourselves human, although we may be in the human body. We no longer call ourselves subject to the earth, although we may be living on a planet. We no longer limit ourselves in any way. We, as we merge in the awareness that we are all, right now. But we have the ability to step out and play a game of chess if we want. Step out and pretend that we're humans. Step out and pretend that. But what we should do is to take with us the awareness that that's our reality. Our reality is the allness. Now, this is a very beautiful program. It's a very beautiful thing. Now, imagination, herb, you're moving a few of your marbles, you know. You're talking in areas that only people who are mentally unstable talk in. Well, what do the doctors tell us? There are more mentally unstable people outside of hospitals than there are in. Because the people who are able to dream, right? The people who are able to envision, the people who are able to let their 10,000 stem cells go to work on beneficial things instead of just eating, drinking, living, breathing aspect. Being something far greater, far more wonderful, far more fantastic, that is our reality. Now, are you ready for that type of reality? Are you ready for having that type of an experience? If you're ready for having that type of experience, then when we come back, we're going to write, and I'd like it if you write it down while you're having a cup of coffee, but when we come back, be ready to write down what it is that you would like to experience, and say, I would just like to merge with the ball of energy of allness now, or I would just like to be myself, or I'd like to be unlimited, you know. Whatever. I don't want to put ideas in your mind too much, because then you copy what I suggest and you won't do what you really want to do. But in the craziness of your minds, and you all are crazy, in the craziness of your mind is some way out idea that you would like to be. Now, you don't have to tell me. Sometimes it's best not even to tell. But what you can do is make yourself aware of it. Because it's probably different than what you think it is. You're so busy working on the workaday, moment-by-moment things that you're thinking about. You're so busy working on your health, your independent wealth, your harmonious relationships, your life, your child, your kids who are messing up or who are being good. Your husband or wife who's lost touch with reality, you see? You think it's those things, but in reality it's you, only you. You're the only one who lost touch with reality, lost touch with that divine within yourself. And you want to be in touch with that divine that's within yourself. And so, think about it. Think about it. You want to be the question to the genie, or do you want to be the answer from the genie? Your wish is my command. So let's take a pause now and come back at what time did you come back? Quarter after 11, 12 now, 11.
Yeah, you want to have lunch now?
We could, if you like.
It's up to you.
There's different time to write down some ideas. What would you like to do?
I'm hoping that food turns on the post.
I'm sorry?
It's about to turn the pots on, so I'm hoping it's not. Why don't you just go and hang pot for another 10 minutes?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's 11:30.
11:30?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. We're still running.
Yeah,
so, 11:30, fine. That's great. So now, what is it that is going to go through your mind as to be your ideal, your dream for yourself? You see, the Indians have a wonderful burial program in which they bury someone up on a rack and they burn them, or they let the animals come eat their remains and so forth, returning to the original purity and integrity, returning to what they had been. And what do? We bury them underground where nothing can touch them, you know, and decay, but decay still sets in. And then we waste a piece of earth on that. And what a sad commentary on that. Now, why are we doing that? What word are we doing that for? The big P. Possession.
Hmm?
Possession. Yeah, we were possessed by them. That's our claim to fame. That's my dad's body. That's his burial plot. That's his cross, you know. If they don't bury somebody, they feel that they'll be lost in the limbo of nothingness, you know. And these are possessions that we've been built with. Pride, yes, pride of possession, of who you are and who this is, but we want to learn to let go of all the things that we can think about. Now, if we can let go of our children and just say, you know what's the right thing to do, go do it. Yeah? And they're 10 years old. Yeah. You know the right thing to do, go do it. Mom, you really mean that? Sure. You know that if you do something that's wrong, you get a spanking, and if you do something that's right, you get a piece of cake, you know. And, well, hey, that's just the way it is. But I'm not going to sit on your back and make you behave. You know what's right and wrong. We tell you what's right and wrong, you just do it. I don't have to bother you all the time with the dude. I trust you. Are you going out with the girls tonight? I trust you. I don't trust her. I think she's going out with the boys, you know? No, really, I don't trust. If I ever tell somebody I trust you, I don't trust them. Because, hey, I said, have fun. Enjoy yourself. You see, we must be able to lift up our children, our spouses, the people in our world, and the conditions. Now, Mr. Jew, when are you going to let go of the Holocaust? When are you going to let go of the Holocaust? Yeah? They're killing themselves every year, annually, daily, weekly, monthly, monthly, second, every second, the viewers are killing themselves with their worship of the Holocaust. With the Wailing Wall, you know the Wailing Wall that they have in Jerusalem? and that's where they are so sorry that they lost the Temple of Solomon. They're so sorry they lost all these things. They're so sorry. But possessed by this. You know, if we could take all the children of the world and put them over here without their mommy and daddy and aunts and uncles and sisters, but without anybody, just let them fend for themselves. Just make sure that they have what they need while they're fending. They would learn rules of conduct without religion. They would learn to respect themselves. They would learn to respect each other. They would learn to look for all the good in the world. They would, and every leaders, natural leaders, that always emerge out of any group of people, and they emerge whether they're 2 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old, doesn't matter what the age, leaders emerge. I have a grandson of my associate, and he lives in Switzerland, and he's just a natural born leader. Wherever he goes, the kids want to do what he says. He has to play a game, they will play him. He knows the rules, and he tells them the rules, that no doubt, no doubt, you know, we believe you. And anything he says, they do. But you see, he's a natural born leader. And his father wanted him to do all sorts of other things, but he didn't do that. So he failed in high school to go on to college. You have to pass certain tests to do that, on purpose, because he didn't want to do it. He wanted to go into sports, because he's an avid sportsman and everything. And so, he trained under the finest soccer coach in Switzerland, who was teaching soccer to the boys. He trained, he listened, he learned, he did everything that coach said. He worshipped and respected everything that coach said. And then the coach says, Marcello, I have to leave now. Would you keep the class going with this? Because he knew he was a good guy. He did. And then the coach stood outside and watched. And he saw him with the respect of every member of that team, teaching them exactly what the coach would teach them if he were there, and adding a little more of what his own personal love was there. And everybody in that group just admired and respected him, and the coach had to give him a top grade, you know, and stuff like that. But the natural qualities within us to lead, and the natural qualities within us to follow. If children were left alone, they would be without a religion. They would be without worrying, is it going to be the word God, or absolute, or allness, or the great spirit, or what is it going to be, you know. They would just follow in there beautifully, and live it beautifully. Now, this is why it's so important for you to let that go. I tell people, I'm so sorry when I read the book now. And Eckhart Tolle, what a beautiful book. What a beautiful now, he said, live in the now. There is no past, there is no future, there is no past. Live in the now, live in the now, live in the now, live in the now, live in the now. Wow, that's good stuff. But his first introduction to the book was his problem. And I'm going to tell you, if you read it, that's your business. But it was his problem of what he faced and how he overcame it before he wrote the book Man, before he came to the awareness of Man. He wanted everyone to know about his broken leg, so to speak. And he wanted everyone to know about his diseases and his unhappiness. And everybody reading the book is thinking about his diseases and unhappiness while they're reading it, missing the power of the book. Because it's told in there. And this is what happens to Christianity today. Jesus, the Christ, is still hanging on the cross. He's hanging on the cross. The cross is a remembrance. The fish is a far better symbol for Christianity than the cross. Because the fish teaches you that you're fishermen of men. You're out sharing this beautiful philosophy, which is what you're doing. And perhaps you can even come up with an icon or a symbol that would be representative of something that you are. And, you know, with your computer business, you have the choice of choosing a different icon. If it comes with one, you don't like it, you just choose a different icon. Well, why don't you do that? Now, how many of you, when you were children, cut your head off and pasted it on top of a beautiful woman or a handsome man, you know? Yeah. And to get the edge. That's not done. And how many accomplished it? Yeah, many. Many. You know, what's his name in the movie last night?
Robin Williams.
He was the best man in town or something?
Man of the year.
And he realized that being president wasn't a joke. And he realized that he did not have the qualities necessary to be the type of president that's necessary. Well, can you be the type of person that you want to be? Can you put all this humanness aside? He couldn't put his humor aside. He had to be that. Because he was the jester, the court jester. And the court jester in any king's court is the court's highest, greater than the king, highest advisor. Because the court jester can advise the king in jestful ways that are not so hard to take. And this is what you want to learn how to do to your divine self. Get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. Get your limited thinking out of the way of the divine circuits. Get your limited attitudes out of the way. And how do you do it? Stop thinking about them. Start thinking about the wonderment of who you are. Okay? So you start thinking about just how great and how wonderful you are. Now, can you believe that you are the genie? You're 10,000 genies. 10,000 genies. 10,000 genies fighting for first place to work for you. No, they're not fighting. Ready, as willing servants, to do your bidding for anything that you want. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready to tell yourself what you want to do? Okay, now, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to tell yourself? When we come back from our lunch, we want to write down what those things are that we thought, because then I'm going to show you how you can bring that into reality for yourself if you like. Does that make any sense? Now, did you have any question about anything that we have talked about so far, or do you want to talk about it later? He says, it is 15 minutes, it's now 11:30, and the pot's hot and ready or not. But if you have any questions, feel free. I mean, I can talk to your head off them. I never run out of words because I can always move to another subject, or I can take the same subject and move it. But I believe in this so entirely and so wonderfully, and I practice it in everything I do. And I know that any time I allow myself the freedom to think something bad, it's done. So I don't dare allow myself to think anything bad at any time. Nor do you. So, have a lovely lunch, and I love you very much.